You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host for this episode, one of the hosts here. We have four of us here, actually. So Chris Chambers, I'm here with Andrew Chamberlain of Jericho Road Ministry.
Hello.
What is up, Andrew?
Glad to be here.
He's going
to
be taking the lead on this one. LT Archbell from Total Dimension.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, appreciate you joining us once again. Elizabeth Limestall, Florida Luxury Realty. What is up?
Hey, how are you?
Good, doing well. Andrew, go ahead and tee it up, man.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this, you know. Well, let me start back a little bit. LT and I had a one-to-one not too long ago, and it was a phenomenal one-to-one. And it made me think, you know, hey, first year, I think 14 months now you've been, is that how many months you've been open?
Yeah, 15 months.
15 months, okay, excuse me. So it got me thinking, like, that first year of business, how hard that is, how challenging, you know. And you went through it with COVID, so that's amazing. So the idea today that we're going to be talking about is some stuff that we've all learned maybe in that first year, that first season of business. And you know, if it applies to other places, you know, you learned it in year five, it's fine. But the idea, and so we got a couple resources that we're referencing today, and just to give some credits to them, I think I'm saying this person's name right. Emojin?
Yeah.
Emojin?
Roy.
Yeah. So
strategy coaching there.
Strategy coaching. There's this 7 lessons I learned my first year of business. And another one that we got, the 5 smartest things I did my first year as an entrepreneur. And this one
from Forbes.
Was from Forbes. Yeah. So we got some stuff there that we'll be referencing. And also we'll just be kind of trying to take it away from there, some points. So the first one that these documents give us, I think, is a good starting spot. And I'm going to ask this one to LT. Yeah. It talks about discipline, structure, and in one of the podcasts we did with you, you talked about your first so many months you were doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Do you feel like you were building that structure, that discipline, or do you think that you know, it took more than just that 6 months behind the scenes, it was even being out front? Or just kind of wrap that up for us a little bit, how you had to build the structure and discipline for your company, especially coming in.
So I think when I first started, I thought I was building structure and discipline. And I hit the ground running and I don't think I stopped. I went to work, and if I was at work, I was working. And if I was at home, I was working. And if I was driving, I was thinking about work. And for me, the structure and discipline came into balancing out work and life, because, you know, personally, my inspiration comes from when I can turn it off. And I think it's important to always go back to your business plan and remember why you initially started doing this in the first place. So if you don't have the balance of, you know, thinking about what it was that you initially meant to do, you're not going to do it. So
that's a really good point. Cause honestly, when I was thinking this question, I wasn't thinking about the balance aspect, you know. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, like, once you're inside, but that's a great point. Any other, you know, perspectives there of, like, keeping that, you know, structured in a way that you're focusing on the right time.
So I can totally relate to exactly what she's saying. I came from a background of 8 to 5. 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. That was my life, right. And that was it. You know,
that was the political aspect prior to real estate.
That was my political job. At 5:01, I was done working. I turned it off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now in business for myself. it is really hard for me to
turn it off.
Turn it off.
Does anybody here dream about their business? You wake up. Yeah.
All yes. It's always on my mind. I am constantly thinking of that. So I can totally relate to the finding the balance. You have to be able to give yourself the ability to turn it off for a while, because if not, you're not going to be.
So let's talk about that real quick, especially for new people. And then, Chris, dive in. Take this and dive in with it. What are some things you would say to somebody, how to turn it off? Like, what would they need to do? Because it's easy to say, hey, turn it off. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to actually do that. So.
Yeah. Well, before I hit that, I think one of the things, one of the intriguing ideas of being your own boss, right, or having your own business, is you are your own boss. I don't have anybody telling me what to do. I can do whatever I want. If you're not careful, that business becomes that boss in a hurry, right? So you're no longer running that business. The business is absolutely running you and running you ragged. And so it is certainly important to make sure there's a good structure, discipline. You know, I think certainly through COVID, everything was locked down there for a period of time, and it's very, very easy. You know, instead of getting up at 6 or 7, 7:30, 8, 9.
Oh, 11 o'clock, what happened?
Where did they go? And so, you know, I think certainly during COVID, that became even that much more important. But as far as your second question there.
So, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, we need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're all in agreement. But actually that how, what maybe. Yeah,
for me.
Anybody else chime in?
Yeah, too, absolutely. But for me, one of the things that we've had to do here is simply it's meant hiring more individuals, right, to share the load. Mm-hmm. And so as I start seeing my days end later and later, it's time. We got to get somebody else. And then I suddenly get back down to a reasonable time to get home to the family. And as that starts going up again, all right, it's time to bring somebody on. So that's one of the ways for me that I've been able or tried to be able to do that. Still a work in progress.
Yeah, one of the things that I've done at Jericho is we've got stores, we've got shelters, we've got food, we got all these different things. And I have a tendency of like, well, I know how to answer that problem, that mm-hmm. problem, that problem. And what I've had to do here recently, I actually shut my door at my office while a problem was going on because I knew, hey, my staff knows how to do this.
Yeah,
I don't need to do this, mm-hmm. you know, and they did a great job.
Yeah.
And, you know, so some of us, though, maybe aren't in those positions. Maybe mm-hmm. we're a sole proprietor. And so that might be a challenging thing. But you can probably apply that in different ways. Like, for example, OK, you know, we were talking to Elizabeth beforehand. She made a great point in where she was referencing, hey, there's other realtors out there that might be able to better help and mm-hmm. knowing how to build off of that. So I think there's a lot of ways if we want to apply that, but just figure out those things of, hey, I got to cut this off. I got to be structured within.
Even LT, and when we were talking to her a little bit ago, she said, get a bookkeeper.
Yeah. Right?
Get a receptionist.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that rings a bell for me.
Yeah.
And then another thing for me was that, you know, as a new business owner and a technician, mm-hmm. I have to be in there working. So it started with just thinking, okay, well, I'll just work all the time. No problem.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize that's not sustainable.
Can't do that.
Yeah. So picking days for your weekend where you're shutting it off and you're actually not even looking.
Yeah.
Don't look at it.
Yeah.
And then picking office hours to where you're doing things like paying your bills and, you know, talking to your bookkeeper, whatever mm-hmm. it is. The structure. The structure and the, okay, this week, this is what this looks like. I'm going to commit to that and I'm going to do it. I think that's huge. And I think I'm still learning it, to be honest. Not that great at it.
And I do certain things, like there are certain things within our household that we do as a family. We walk the dog.
I love that.
Morning and night as a family. Mm-hmm. Sunday, we try and do family day, you know, even if it's just going to Home Depot and walking around Home Depot. It's those things, those routines that it's like, I don't care what else is going on. You need to put that aside. We're going to go take this 15, 20 minutes together out in the fresh air as our family.
Yep.
And do what we need to do.
And we do this Saturday, Sunday. We are not doing work. Clients call. I give them my cell phone. They call. I'm not answering on Saturday. I'm not answering. Sunday's not going to happen. And we're not going to allow that to invade. You know, that is absolutely our family time. So I definitely echo that.
Wonderful. So that first one that I think we would all agree in, regardless if it's your first year or your 20th year. And that's the thing. You're going to have to keep practicing and learning these things. It doesn't just end in your first year. You got to keep doing it. But that structure, that discipline. Second one we want to move to here is this idea of investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. LT kind of mentioned something a moment ago that, you know, it's that old adage we probably all heard and hopefully we live by to some extent in our businesses. You got to work not just in your, you know, you can't just work in your business. You got to work on your business. And one of that components is investing in yourself, learning, growing. So let me open it up that way. What are some things that you guys have learned? And I'm going to start with Chris here. What are some things that you have learned specifically, Chris, of how to invest in yourself, not just for the short term, but for the long term success and well-being of you and your business?
Yeah, so for me personally, obviously as a veterans law attorney, the laws are always changing. And so in order for me to keep up with that, I'm either going to be combing through you know, proposed bills and proposed laws and figuring things out that way, or I can have others who are doing that kind of downloading that information, briefing me on that. And so twice a year, there's an organization, National Organization of Veterans Advocates. And so twice a year, I'm able to go to that conference. It's a 2-3-day conference. And I get all that information, all the updated information, continuing to get to allow me to get that information that I need, that I can convey that to my clients. So that's one of the ways that I've continued.
So you bookmark that, for example.
Absolutely.
Like this is in the calendar. We're doing this. This is
April and October every year. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
And you mentioned something earlier in a conversation where during this time you went and got, refresh my memory, like a specific license or something.
I got my seniors real estate. I got my seniors real estate specialist. Yes.
Wonderful. So, I mean, would you consider that investing in yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. Investing in myself and investing in my clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because that just, it helps me connect to them more, learn more about what they expect, based on where they are in their life, how their families play a role in my relationship with them as well. So, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I've done, because prior to the position I hold now, being over Jericho, and Jericho, we have so many different things going on, as I've mentioned, but you know, prior to this, I pastored, and so I am accustomed to making a portion of my day study. You know, that's yeah. something I'm already accustomed to, and so I feel privileged to already have that in my system. Yeah. So it's interesting. There are certain blocks that I'll take during the week, or sometimes I'll make it a once a month, and I'll say, "Hey, this day or this time period is completely given to study. I'm not doing this task. I'm not doing this because I'm going to have to learn stuff." And so, you know, one of the things that's important for us, I think, as a business owner, is it doesn't matter what your field is, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it that way, but you do have to understand that this is work. This is something that you have to do to continually making yourself better and your craft better. So anything else we want to add before we go into our next one there?
I can echo what Elizabeth and Chris both said about taking the time to advance in your career. And also, it makes me think about what we were just talking about previously, is taking the time to figure out what it is that you need to invest. And sometimes, you know, taking a beat to be like, oh, okay, we really need help with, you know, A, B, or C. Yeah. And then, you know, heading that way.
Yeah. So, and last thing I'll mention there here as well is take that time, take the money, right? Spend that money to invest in yourself, and it's going to pay dividends, you know, moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be afraid to spend the money in order to invest in yourself. And one of the things that we've been able to do, certainly pre-COVID, during COVID, this has gone away a little bit, but the last 2 years, twice a year, we've used this as family vacation. So I actually take the family with me. You know, I go to the conference, and then afterwards, you know, we get together, and my wife goes with them and does that. So that's another way you can kind of build in, as we mentioned, kind of family time, but also, you know, some training as well. Elizabeth?
So one little caveat that I like to add on this whole training issue is know when to stop learning and start doing.
Mm.
When I started in real estate, because it was such a different field for me, I just immersed myself in every bit of education. I was driving to all five locations, you know, taking any class that was available in order to get the education that I felt that I needed. Mm. And one day my broker finally looked at me and he goes, "Elizabeth, stop learning, start earning." And it's like, oh yeah, I really need to get out there and get some experience under my belt as well. So, I mean, it's one thing to be book smart and, you know, book educated, but know when you need to take that step and actually put those into play.
Don't just be hearers, but be doers. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because at the end of the day, you know, as we're talking about this, we're talking about it at learning is not the goal, the end itself. There's a reason, and enjoy that journey. But we all agree, specifically as you're new, set aside some time, focus on that. It's very important, and realize Chris made a good point. You're going to have to invest in it, but it's an investment. It's not just spending money. It's an investment. So it's really good. So let's move on to this next one, because we're going to look at this Forbes list for a moment. And we want to, there's quite a few on this list that are great, but one that I want to really hit right here is this idea of a support system / friends helping us. And I think it's really important for us, because we are a BNI podcast, and we all use BNI and are grateful for BNI. So let's take these points from a BNI perspective. So let me ask a general question for everybody, and I think I already know the answer. Would you consider BNI a support system for you and your business?
All together.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think we should raise our hand. I will.
I will.
Yeah. No, but all jokes aside, yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that sentiment. And so let's talk about that for a second, because I think, you know, we don't want to minimize the friendship, the relationship that we get, because it does really help us, not just from the business side, but from a personal side. So let me open it up to LT first with this. During this time, not just COVID, I know COVID has really kind of accentuated this to an extent, but during this time in general, how have you seen the support system come around you and really assist you personally, assist you in your business, or just in general, really assist you and to take that a step further, how'd that make you feel as an individual?
I think that's a great question. I was actually thinking about it earlier. Initially, when I got into BNI, I thought, oh, great. Look, all these seasoned business owners, and I'm going to talk to them and I'm going to ask them questions. It's going to be great. Well, that was true, and it was very helpful, and I'm super grateful for it. Well, then I started to learn that we had similar priorities and we had similar interests. And on a personal level, you know, we were just talking earlier about how a lot of our chapters into scuba diving, and just different things where on a personal level you can kind of step away from work but still have these trusted individuals that you relate to. And I think that's just so important. I think when you're an entrepreneur, you're running a business, your priorities are different than other people's sometimes. And it's really nice to know that you have a whole group of like-minded individuals that want to, you know, talk to you not only about business but about, you know, family, personal hobbies, things like that.
Yeah, but from a business, that's great. It's exactly it. Now, from a business side, why do we think that that's important? Like, I mean, obviously, we're not just saying, hey, the end of friendship is business, but at the same time, it does help. So why? Why is that such an important thing for us? And how has B and I really, really, you know, make that become, you know, bring it to fruition for
us? Well, here's what I'll say. I've mentioned this previously, but 2009, I started my own firm, Law Office of Christopher S. Chambers. It's no longer around. It lasted for less than a year. I didn't even make it 3 years. So we were talking about what were lessons you learned in the first year. Get through a year. the reason I didn't get 3 years is because I didn't have this. I didn't have a support system. I had friends. I wasn't all by myself. I did have friends, but not in the sense that we're referring to here. You know, it is unbelievable that that, you know, this B and I has become, you know, family. You know, we are legitimately friends. You know, we've just had to get together. In fact, this weekend, where we got to get together and spend some time with another, took the family out, and certainly felt, you know, very friendly, familial.
I was very connected.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Easy conversation.
Yeah, and again, from a support system standpoint, you know, I've told this story a dozen times, a thousand times probably, but Keith Voiles, right? He took me early on. This is early on when I joined BNI. Took me and introduced me to an individual who would become a giant referral source for the Chambers Law Firm, and has allowed us to be where we are. And like, we're now on the cusp of a 3 year anniversary, and again, in large part. Not only from Keith Voiles, in large part to Keith Voiles in that introduction for sure, but to BNI in general. And as we've also mentioned, it also helps us to be a better practitioner, right? Because we have individuals that we can refer to, that we know, we like, we trust, not only with personally, but with our clients as well. So it's been huge. It's been huge for sure.
I can totally relate to that. In my opinion, there's two different sides of the support. One is the business side. And, you know, I've talked about my BNI and the house that BNI built with trying to sell a house or help somebody purchase a house, and all the needs, all the vendor needs that are there for somebody. So there's that side of that BNI can help with. But then there's also the personal aspect of it as well. Most of you know that I lost my father about 2.5 years ago. That morning when I woke up, I was scheduled to attend an inspection that Josh was doing for me, and ironically, Sean Bradley was the listing agent on that home. For me to be able to pick up the phone or just text those two gentlemen and go, I cannot do this today, handle it, and both of them did, is just, I mean, it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, one of the things we talked about at the beginning was that discipline, you know, and I think that really ties into this, because I think, as LT said earlier, you know, as entrepreneurs, sometimes you're kind of wired different. And so this may not come natural to you. I don't need to hang out with these people again. But let me tell you, be disciplined in it, not just from the standpoint that it's going to grow your business, but because you're going to build a relationship that's going to have more worth than just monetary. And I think each one of us at this table would agree with that statement, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So it moves.
And much longer lasting.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. Exactly. So, and it moves into this other point where it says, ask your friends for help. So, you know, from a BNI language, we talk about referrals and knowing how to give good referrals and building those relationships. So I want to make this a little bit more BNI specific, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, I got a referral the other day that it was good, but at the same time, it was not exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. And now I'm building a relationship with that person where we can go and have that conversation. And we haven't had that yet, so I shouldn't say it has happened. But there has been an example in here where I gave a referral to LT that wasn't a good referral. And we had that conversation because the person wasn't licensed yet. It really helped me to understand, well, wait a second. All right, if I'm going to give this referral, let's make sure we do it in a good way. But we had the relationship where it wasn't confrontational. It was, she knew I had the best interest for her and so forth. So let's talk about that for a moment, because that really builds off of having those relationships. So from a referral standpoint, what are some keys, especially when you're new at BNI, you've been in the business, maybe you've started your business for just a year, you're trying to do this. What are some things that we can help other individuals? So we'll start with Chris.
Yeah.
How can we build those relationships to really build a good referral partner?
I think always being willing to take responsibility, right, for the passing of the referrals, but also the receiving of the referrals, right? If I'm not getting the referrals that I want, I'm going to take the responsibility for that. I'm not going to blame my referral sources and say, hey, what's going on? Apparently, I'm not training everybody properly to know exactly what I'm looking for, right? If I'm more specific, if I tell them exactly what I need, I'm gonna get the referrals that I am looking for. The other I'd say is that, you know, the platinum rule, right? Golden rule says, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." Platinum says, "Do unto others as they would have be done unto you." So we need to get together. We need to know one another so we know what each other wants. And when we do that, then we're gonna be able to better, pass referrals to them. They'll be able to better pass referrals to us. So I'd say those are two items that I would mention there.
I think that's good. I think when the challenges that you know that you hit on, especially maybe with COVID right now,
yeah,
we gotta still be getting together.
Yeah,
you know, we're doing phone, we're doing Zoom, we're doing one to one, and I think they're all good, or in person, I should say. But sometimes that in person is really, you know, maybe the best for that. But we have to adapt. So have you guys felt like you've been able to adapt really well to that change? So you know how to build those referral partnerships, or is that still, to be honest, still a challenge for you?
Full honesty here.
Yeah.
I think it is sometimes still challenging. Not to say that, you know, I don't try to rise to the occasion, but meeting in person, I feel like there's just so much, more connection, I guess. And then when you're on the phone, you have to work a little harder. It's still possible, but, you know, you gotta, I don't know. For me, I love being in person. Yeah. I think it's great. Some camaraderie that comes along with it.
Even this right here, what we're doing here, right. We are in person right now, the four of us, and we're spread apart pretty good here, but practicing social distancing. But this is definitely more lively than any of the Zoom recordings that I've done, you know, over the last 6 months. Elizabeth?
I totally agree. I think, you know, when you're face-to-face, obviously things just move more smoothly. But I kind of want to go back to, if I could, just for a minute, the relationships. And when you do meet with one another and you learn how they are, what their target market is, it's just going to help you in your business. And that if there's ever, when we refer somebody, it's our reputation on the line. So if that person that you refer to does not live up to your expectations, mm-hmm, or your customer's expectations, the relationship that you build with that referral partner can come into play. If I get a complaint about somebody that I've referred, I may be able, because I know that individual more, I'm able to say, you know what, that just doesn't sound like that person. Let me give them a call, see what's going on in their life, seeing if they got your communication, that type of thing. So we're able to better smooth out any rough patches that, mm-hmm, might happen, mm-hmm, because we have that relationship with them where it's not just a referral that's going to get thrown in the trash type thing.
That makes a lot of sense because and that's why I put those two together. You build the relationship and then you know how to really, you know, the language here is ask for help. Our language is give a good referral. Mm-hmm. So by building that relationship, and I think that's really crucial. And I think that's one of the things that makes our group successful is that we really are building those relationships to know how to give good referrals. You know, that's something, you know, so before we move on to this last point, let me ask one last question. I think it's, you know, hopefully it's a good one, but with this idea of being able to give good referrals, what are some of the questions or what are some of the things that you have found in your experience of dealing with other individuals that have been, you know, hey man, if I ask this, then I'm going to better understand this person. I'm going to better understand what kind of referrals that I should give them. So to give you an idea, one of the things I do, it's so simple as this. I just ask, what do you need? Tell me what you really need. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that? What are something I should be looking for or listening for? So take it from there.
I go back to that Keith Oils and because he introduced me to a referral source and not simply a referral.
That's big.
That was huge. Yeah. So one of the things I like to ask when I'm meeting with fellow referral partners here at BNI is, okay, good referrals. What are good referrals? But what are good referral sources? Like that are gonna pay dividends, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year. So that'd be a good one in my opinion.
That's a great one. That's sources, great, yeah.
For me, it's kind of like how do you want to be referred? Mm-hmm. What is the best way for me to send this referral? Do you want me to text you when I send it? Is the email thing working out?
Yeah.
Like, I like to get look in the eye. What is the best thing, mm-hmm, here?
And I'll tell you, I just had a conversation with a couple of people recently, and they're like, oh, so-and-so always only puts it through the app, never sends me a text, and sometimes I miss it. So again, knowing that, mm-hmm, there's certain individuals that want a text or want an email in addition to putting it on the app is important. So that's a good point.
Good, good.
and mine would be, how can I answer some objections? You know, if I'm speaking to somebody about you and this is their objection A, how do you want me to respond to that?
Right.
You know, help me.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's great.
Easily refer you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right, so let's get to this last one and then we're going to wrap up here. We're going to try to do this a little bit quicker. Talks about learning. I learned from when things didn't go as planned.
Yeah.
And so obviously we got the easy one with COVID. Nobody was just thinking, woohoo, let's have a worldwide pandemic, right? But I mean, even though it's easy, it's a good one to use. Yeah. So what have you learned through COVID? It wasn't planned. And how can that help a new business, you know, someone who's starting out? So what's some stuff you learned?
I mean, I'll just throw out real quick. Obviously, B&I, I think, has done a really good job of adapting to this current process. I mean, it was, what, 2 weeks maybe that suddenly we had this online platform through Zoom and we were able to continue getting together. Is it as good as the in-person? You know, I don't think anybody would say that it is. But has it allowed us to continue to flourish, really, as a chapter? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know? So adapting there, I think, has been big.
Yeah.
What else?
I've got one that's very tangible. Have reserves. I mean,
yeah.
Chris and I have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, obviously different businesses call for different things, mm-hmm. but from a cash standpoint, you have to always realize there's always going to be something that you don't plan. You know, one of my stores this week, I'm like, okay, we didn't plan for this to happen, but mm-hmm. it happens. I always tell our team is, we always have to realize there's a cost of doing business mm-hmm. and there's a cost that you don't understand. So, you know, be prepared for that. So save as much as you possibly can. You know, it goes back to some of those older things that are just real conservative but are good. Save. Mm-hmm. Save some money. Save it. You need it to be prepared because you don't know what's going to happen.
And so we have people in the chapter that can help you do that. Yeah, we do. If you don't know how.
We do. Great. Other ones you want to add? You can't plan it, but, you know, maybe something you've learned through some unplanned situations?
I would just say rise to the occasion. You know, it didn't go as planned. Well, what can you do with it?
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to solve this or save this?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a huge lesson in the first 9 months of doing business. And then we shut down. It was kind of like, all right, well, how are we going to do this now? You know, always be flexible and open.
And I'd say measure those things too. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're tracking whatever you're doing. Hey, I'm going to switch something out. I'm going to try something new. Is it working? If it's not working, be ready and be flexible to go ahead and move on from that. Hey,
right.
We gave it a shot. You know, we failed in that, but I'm going to learn from that failure, not make that mistake again, and move forward and try something else. So yeah, that's good.
I think we have the queen of flexibility in our chapter.
Yeah.
And Rory.
Okay, right. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Rory has taken every single challenge that has mm-hmm. been thrown her way, and something happens to her like once a year, it seems, and she just has the ability to flip and alter and
just
make
give
it
a
work.
Little context. She joined the chapter, and within months,
within like 2 weeks,
yeah,
what happened? Fire.
Her place caught on fire.
Yeah.
Her restaurant caught on fire. Yeah. So I mean, but she
built it back up.
She built it back
thriving.
Up. She stuck it out, and then you know,
and
with COVID
hit.
COVID hit. She changed the whole structure of her business,
yeah.
and you know, just hit the ground running with delivering and catering, and I mean, just. She's like Wonder Woman there. You know, like whatever comes at her, she's going to bounce away.
She's a great example.
And her ability to help others try and see that where mm-hmm. they could transition as well, I think is extremely impressive.
Wonderful. Well, let's wrap up. I'm gonna just kind of restate these things. So especially if you're new, you're starting out a business. And honestly, even if you're not new, I mean, these are things you just got to keep learning because it's stuff happens. So first, structure, discipline. Make sure you are prepared internally. And as LT said, knowing how to discipline even outside of that. So that's a wonderful thing to think about. Two, invest in yourself. Realize it is truly an investment. Keep learning, keep growing. And as Elizabeth said, know that that learning needs to lead to something, not just arbitrarily learn. Create a support system. We talked about that with B&I. We really, really, we're not just trying to pitch you something here. It is true. B&I, it's great. It's a support system, and you'll really know how to get help from that. So it's the fourth one there. And that's what we call referrals. Build those referral relationships. Know how to do that well. And then last, when things don't go as planned, just adapt, grow, measure that. And at the end of the day, just talk to Rory. She'll help you get through things instead of a plan. Thank you, guys. This was wonderful. Appreciate
it.
Yeah, Elizabeth, LT, and Andrew, thanks for joining us for the episode. I will say this. You're all welcome back anytime you'd like to do this again. Definitely had a good time. And for anyone else in the chapter who would like to take part in one of these roundtable discussions, or if you want to come in and be interviewed, tell us a little bit about yourself so we learn who you are, definitely you're invited to do so. Thank you all so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!